can and should play a role in this. All right. So I'm just going to... Yay. One of our favorite cartoons, by the way. Thank you. If pedestrians had clout. We haven't gotten there yet in Massachusetts. I think I've sort of... This was last winter. We had a lot of snow last winter. So, building coalitions. Who can and should play a role? Well, that's a really broad set of people. And I think most of these are folks that you may recognize in your work. But I just wanted to mention a few. In one community that we've been doing a lot of work in, our partner has been the Human Rights Commission. This is a very interesting partner, because once you're in a coalition with the Human Rights Commission, suddenly people are sitting up and, why is the Human Rights Commission working on snow? Well, because year-round mobility really is a basic human right, and people being trapped in their homes is a real issue, and that's a very powerful partner. Another one that I want to, thank you, all right, I'm gonna fly, is the Safe Routes to Schools movement. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but that's about building getting more young children to walk to school, and our partners in some communities are those folks, because the kids likewise can't walk year round if the sidewalks aren't shoveled. So, basic tools. What I'm going to talk about is some of the things we've been working on, and again, I want to go quickly so that we have time for a little bit of conversation, but enforcement, encouragement, assistance for older adults, and policies and press. So, one of the things that's happened in Massachusetts in the last couple of years is that there has been a state law passed that has made it easier for municipalities to actually impose fines and then attach them to property tax bills, as opposed to needing to take people to court. That's a very big change, because basically it gives municipalities a tool for enforcement. Looking around at who can look for unshoveled sidewalks, the city of Cambridge uses parking officers who are out doing, we have residential parking permits, so those are people that are walking around anyway. Using apps, allowing people to report unshoveled sidewalks. A lot of communities are diving into this with full force. It's very straightforward and easy. Some of them are mobile apps, some of them are just phone-in reports. There's much better data collection so that, again, people can make their voices heard. I think you're hearing that a lot in this session. Encouragement. We have done lots of different kinds of outreach, worked with a number of different communities about this, and what we've started doing much more of is talking about the neighborliness of shoveling. So it's not that you have to do this because it's the law. You need to do this because otherwise your neighbors can't get out. They're walking in the street. One of the points that is important to make is, if you look down the street and 9 out of 10 sidewalks have been shoveled, that 10th one is going to put you into the street to walk, so that everybody being part of it. One of our board members, who's herself a senior, writes notes to her neighbors and writes little handwritten notes and drops them in their mailbox if they're not shoveling. Please, I need to walk here. Some Safe Routes to Schools programs have done that. Kids go out at recess and walk around and put little door hangers, thanking people for shoveling and also reminding people that don't shovel. Best shoveled block contest. Actually, I see one of my colleagues from Somerville here. This is something that's happened in Somerville. We love it. It's a great idea. You win an award, and the postal carriers are the ones who judge it, and who knows better which blocks are shoveled. They're on every single block. So assistance. It's really important to get assistance for people who need it, and that can be volunteers, or it can be something provided by the municipality. So a number of youth service organizations take this on. Air Force Junior ROTC is one of the providers in the community in Massachusetts that are doing a really effective job. It's part of their community service. In Cambridge, people who are low-income seniors and disabled people can apply for and get assistance so that the city comes and shovels their streets, their sidewalks. They just have to apply in advance. But again, making sure that there's a way to get people help who need it. This is a wonderful volunteer program in a neighborhood in Boston where they call themselves the Snow Crew. And volunteers, basically, people tell the organization if they need help, and volunteers go and shovel their sidewalks. It's a little more complicated than it sounds, because actually what started to happen was that several people would show up in the same place, because it actually requires a dispatcher, so it's not just totally informal. But it's a wonderful idea, and it's really built around this idea of building community, which is such a powerful motivator for people to actually work on this issue. Workshops, teaching people how to shovel snow, believe it or not, so that they don't hurt their backs and they don't hurt their hearts. Distributing yak tracks. Those of you who live in warm parts of the country probably don't know these things, but you slip them over your shoes to keep them slipping. Then policy approaches. Again, I think as all of us know, and in the public health world, policy is a really, really critical piece of all of this, setting the stage. And of course, there's back and forth between local activism and policy change, and you need those two things going hand in hand. One of the important issues is access to transit and making sure that people can actually get to the bus stop. And then one of the things that we're thinking about is sort of the legal implications around snow shoveling and who's doing it and who's enforcing it and how all of that works. Thank you. So we're about to start a Shovel a Stop program, again in Somerville, with volunteers to shovel out bus stops, which is a huge and a very important issue for seniors in every community where transit is provided. And one of the reasons that we got to the point of being able to work on this is that there has been lately a lot of media coverage, and we like to think that a lot of this has to do with the voice that Walk Boston has been putting out there about the importance of this issue. So again, there's give and take, and you know, we call reporters and now they call us about this. And of course, last year's huge snowfalls contributed to that, so there was a lot of coverage about snow. And there's actually a very recent success to report, which is that the transit agency has agreed to start shoveling bus stops in a much more consistent way. Now, they have many thousands of them, and so they're targeting the most heavily used routes, of course, but this is a very big and important policy change because this, is, of course, affects everybody in the region. And so we're thrilled with that success, and it came out of really all these many, many different approaches to snow clearance and getting lots of people involved in it and thinking about it and talking about it. And with that, I'm going to stop and see whether there are any questions. I think I have time for a couple of them. Thank you. It's a great question. It was about year-round. It does sort of flag from people's attention and then comes back again. In fact, sort of the groundwork that we're doing with the agencies in particular and with some of the service providers goes on year-round. So we're always sort of rushing to get ready for the next season. So, for example, getting the pieces in place to do the Shovel a Stop program in this one community. That's been going on year-round, where we're working with the community, with the volunteer coordinator in the community, the Human Rights Commission in that case as well. So it does sort of fall off the radar a bit, but we know that it takes a long time. And again, that's something we've sort of learned over the years. Likewise with the MBTA. You know, the meetings that we've been having with them have been in the season leading up. I would say the slowest time of year is April. You know, that's what everybody's like done with it. But it is a little complicated, but it's just sort of like dealing with schools. You know, there's this seasonality to it.
And the area agency and agent, are they
actively? It depends. So we have 351 municipalities in Massachusetts. Some of those, the aging agencies are interested in this issue. Some of them are not. We have tried in a number of cases to get the agencies involved, and some of them have. Some of the programs I showed were done with senior services agencies. So it's a real mixed bag. I mean, they all think about it. Not all of them have the capacity to work with us on it. So, yeah. Right. I mean, it is. Right. I mean, these are the, again, this was about getting help, really. And that's an issue that we hear a lot about. So building coalitions, getting local politicians involved in that, having them help recruit. I don't think we have a solution to it, but the bottom line is to actually work on this coalition and try and think about it as not just individual homeowners needing to deal one-on-one with the providers of the services, if you will, but doing it as a group so that you're actually recruiting a number of businesses to shovel a number of locations, I think is one way to start. So again, that sort of the community organizing piece. And I think I have 30 seconds, so. Yeah. I think there's that phrase, I think it's NORC, Naturally Occurring Retirement Communities, which is another, I mean, I didn't include that in here, but all of these different pieces, and I think the really important issue is to sort of go back and forth between solving the problem and thinking of it as an organizing tool. So that group in Jamaica Plain, who was doing the volunteering in a somewhat more organized way with sort of alerts and using cell phone technology, you know, to be able to let people volunteer and ask for help. I mean, all of those things are sort of back and forth between the neighborliness and the building toward, you know, communities that serve everybody that's in them. And I think that's the important thing for all of us to think about, how to do that, how to use that relationship between the formal and the informal. So thank you very much. Thank you.